Hello. It is Wednesday, November 25th. It is a thankful Wednesday, isn't it, Ty? Oh,
yeah, big time.
Ty, yeah.
My mic's not on. Yeah, it's a big time thankful Wednesday.
Hey, it is a big time thankful Wednesday. We will not be having a show tomorrow. I'm not 100% sure if we'll have a show on Friday or not. Probably not, if I had to guess. So this is the last one for the week. We want to tell you we thank you so much for listening to this show. We are very thankful for you. Our shows aren't always a banger, but the fact that you guys ride or die with us with Pat McAfee Show 2.0, we are forever thankful. So know that that's what we're thankful for, the fact that you choose to allow us to penetrate your ear holes. Today's show is a good one. Mike Allstott, Tom Pelissero, AJ Hawk, the boys. We can't thank you enough. Let's get to it. By the end of this thing, if you like this show, please be a friend and tell a friend. And if you don't, just act like it never happened. Let's get to it. Very thankful Wednesday. Obviously, Thanksgiving's tomorrow, and there's a lot of games to talk about. There's some COVID situations happening both in the NFL and in college football. There's a lot of life things happening, and we have a massive show for you today. Woo! Joining us in about 1 hour, football player Mike Allstott.
Oh, yeah!
We spent 20 to 30 minutes this morning watching old Mike Allstott highlights and interviews with him. I cannot wait to chat with this man. They called him the A-Train when he got The Rock back in the day. He was a mixture of Derrick Henry meets Owen Schmidt, for those that got a chance to watch West Virginia football back in the day. He was a bruiser. If you never watched him play, please go do that. He talks about his high top cleats that he wore that resembled combat boots, because that's what he thought it was. He had a neck roll, big pads on, and he just loved the game of football. And when you watch him play, you'll be like, damn, that coach's son, that guy with high energy, that guy with a high motor, I mean, first one in, last one out, lunch pail type of guy. That is the prototypical guy of old school football. It was just run the ball over people's faces, and then every once in a while he'd have a jump cut that would just explode onto the scene and made no sense. If social media was around when the A-Train was playing football, this guy would have 10 billion followers, because the highlights that he made week in and week out that we watched. Super Bowl champion, obviously. They won by 28 points or something in the Super Bowl over the Raiders when John Gruden was their coach down in Tampa. He was the face of the Buccaneers for a long time. In one interview, he said what we did good was the run game, so we had to do that. And it was like, listen, I know you're saying what other people say about your team, but what they're saying is you're the good team, you're the good part of the team. Mike Allstott was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers there for a while. Now, granted, Warrick Dunn came into that backfield. Lorenzo Neal, legendary fullback, Pro Bowl fullback. He was a fullback for Mike Allstott at one point. I mean, that backfield that Tony Dungy and John Gruden had back there was just hilarious, awesome. And we get a chance to chat with a guy whose name will forever be synonymous with football, because he basically was football. The A-Train, Mike Allstott, out of Purdue University, by the way. Native of Chicago, but Tampa Bay Buccaneer legend. He'll join us in about an hour. And Tom Pelissero from the NFL Network will join us in the third hour alongside AJ Hawk on this thankful Wednesday. We would like your phone calls as well. 1-888-MAD-DOG-6. Can't wait to chat with you on this SiriusXM channel 82 Mad Dog Sports Radio. Thankful Wednesday. At Tone Diggs, how you doing, pal? Big Thanksgiving coming up. We will be off tomorrow, by the way, for Thanksgiving. I will be on Friday, but a lot of the boys are traveling, so who knows how that show will be going. Probably not a lot of people listening or watching, but wanting to save vacation days, to be clear. So doing the show on Friday, we'll probably take a lot of phone calls. Yep. A lot of phone calls on Friday. We'll probably be reacting to the Thanksgiving games, having a good old time. Can't wait for that, but we're off tomorrow. Big Thanksgiving for you, Tone. I'm excited for you to go spend some time with the new wife, by the way. First time at Thanksgiving with a wife. Yay! And the in-laws, like the actual in-laws, like everything like that, Tone. Yeah. This is a big deal.
Yeah, it'll all be the same. I mean, we're drinking, we'll be watching football for the next 4 or 5 days. 5 days. Awesome.
I feel like you got a tweet earlier this morning, somebody asking you it was on the pod yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
What time do you begin boozing and vitamins? And Diggs, I'm gonna be honest, when I heard your answer, I immediately was like, a little bit worried about you. But yeah. I feel like your mindset is one that captivates a lot of different people.
Well, Thanksgiving's a top five drinking holiday, and people forget about that. But yeah, the in-laws, they will also indulge with me in that.
Yeah. I think you said as soon as you wake up, I believe.
Yeah. Well, around 11.
That's when you wake up.
No, he wakes up real early. You got to remember, this is an early rise.
Well, around 11.
Yeah, but you got to remember, Thanksgiving's a big drinking holiday, mostly because the night before Thanksgiving is like the second largest drinking night of the year, right behind New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. But a lot of states have said, nah. You think you're doing that whole night before Thanksgiving, we're back from college, let's go ahead and black out at the local bar that we could never really get into because our fake IDs weren't good enough till we got to college? Think again! You've been at home for college anyway, and you will remain home for the Wednesday night. Yep. Pennsylvania stopped selling beer or stopped selling any alcohol yesterday or today at 5?
Today at 5.
Today at 5. Jeez. Nobody's allowed to sell alcohol until tomorrow at noon or something like that, or Friday at noon or something like that. It's like, so right now, all the liquor stores and state stores in Pennsylvania is what they're called. That's the only place you can get beer. Everywhere else in America, basically, you can get beer and things everywhere else, basically. But not in Pennsylvania. You have to go to a state store because they have taxes on it so big. And I wonder if they had like a... Like they need money quick.
Packed.
All right, what are we going to do to get money quick? Well, what we need to do is just shut off the fucking alcohol sales right before Thanksgiving, 5 o'clock on Wednesday. Do you know how we'll sell everything?
Boy, that makes sense.
The state is, this is a little, this is a big Wednesday or big sale Wednesday for the state. That's why they shut down the night or everything like that. But I think that is one of the main reasons why Thanksgiving is such a drinking holiday is because the night before, in a lot of states, they don't get to celebrate that. A holiday was taken away.
Well, most people have to drink to be with their family too. So that's partially.
Yeah, a lot of big conversations coming up at this. By the way, if you're doing Thanksgiving, though, a lot of people are saying you better start planning some funerals, too, at the way.
You're not allowed.
A news person told me that straight face, too, and I was like, oh, my God, for real? Yeah,
be careful.
Really?
Jesus.
Yeah, you're not allowed.
On the news, it said if you're doing Thanksgiving with your family, and it's like, I forget how many people. If you're doing Thanksgiving with your family, while you're there, you guys should start planning funerals. A news person said that. I was watching at home, and I just like looked over at my wife. I was like, holy fuck. Who's planning the funeral? Is it me or you?
Break out the casket magazines. Yeah. I mean, geez, pick one.
Let's go ahead and get to it, man. It was, so I guess everybody's supposed to have very small gatherings.
Yeah.
Right? Thanksgiving, big family holiday, small gatherings. Okay, hope you're safe, Diggs, by the way. Not just from the vid, by the way. I think potentially also the blackout that you're going to have by noon. Original answer. Yeah.
Nah, I'm professional.
Steelers-Ravens game.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be fine for that.
Absolutely. Take a nap. Maybe do a 2-a-day. Make it a 3-a-day.
Hung over for it.
Yeah, why not? Go for it. Ravens are down more players than anything. And I guess the conversation is started that should they postpone the game?
Whoa.
Should they postpone this game? Because the Ravens, who are supposed to play on tomorrow, who are supposed to travel today to Pittsburgh, should they postpone the game because more positive tests are rolling out? They don't know who all has it and who doesn't. They're also contemplating traveling tomorrow, like what the Patriots had to do whenever they went and played the Chiefs earlier in the season because of the outbreak that the Patriots had. I mean, there's a lot of question marks around that Steelers-Ravens game, and you're probably going to be, I would assume, 10, 11 drinks deep at that point.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I'll be fine. I mean, I'll be always be comprehensive in there for the Steelers game. But
you just have to wear your shirt.
Yeah, I have it.
Okay, good.
Moving that game is ridiculous. I mean, the 49ers didn't have a player on their offense who touched the ball just a year before in the Super Bowl, and they didn't move that game, but we're thinking about moving this game, a Thursday night primetime game. What are we doing?
Well, it doesn't sound like you're just saying this strictly because it's...
Well, you already fucked the Steelers once because they didn't have a bye week because the Titans couldn't control their goddamn locker room. So you want to fuck them again?
That is interesting. This would be a tough go for the Steelers because this game probably moves to, what, Sunday then? So they just have a regular full week probably, as opposed to, by the way, the potential bye week weekend that they had on the other side of this.
Yeah.
No more Steelers. Okay? You thought you had a bye earlier?
No.
You thought you had a 4-day week? Nah. This is going into the weekend. I assume that is definitely on the table. And they would probably just change the timing of the games. I would assume they would bump them either all back or separate them a little bit more if I had to guess.
I mean, it takes all of us, and if the Ravens don't realize that, then that's their fault.
I wonder what happened over there. You know, they lose in overtime to the Titans, and then the next day, both running backs have it. Okay, so let's assume those two were with somebody, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then immediately, isn't the contact tracing supposed to do something, right? And then they were like, there's no contact tracing, though. It's very interesting how this is all working out, because some facilities, just a few weeks ago, if somebody got tested positive and they were out of the building, they just tell them, stay home, lock them down. They would clean sweep the entire facility, and everybody would go to work the next day. The Browns found out they had somebody positive, and they're working from home today. So it's like kind of at the beginning of the year, whenever they heard that somebody tested positive in the NFL, nobody would go to the facility. Let's shut it down. Who knows what's going to happen? Then as the NFL had more and more cases kind of pop up, and they figure out that they were able to neutralize them just by keeping the at-risk party at home, and everybody else can kind of still work, so we're not going to shut down the facility. We're still going to do our thing. And now the Browns are going back. I wonder if there was – Did we learn that the way of sending people, keeping people at home and just going about your workday was failing? I wonder with the information that they're hearing and why people are doing what they're doing.
I assume the staying at home part now is part of like the, now that they've doubled down on the more intensive protocols, like that may be part of it.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that they do. Hey, listen, we're going to get to the fucking playoffs. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
All right. We don't care. We threw you out there whenever you didn't practice for a whole week. We don't care. We do not care. Don't matter. Okay. We can't do the bubble. I understand because there's fucking too many people. Mm-hmm. And it has to be too big. We'd have to build our own city. Maybe Bezos should have done that. We should have thought about that. Wait, we could have done that. We can't do the bubble, but you know what we can do? These protocols that we're about to rack up, it is basically a bubble. And guys are still getting it. Mm-hmm. And I'll be intrigued to see if guys go the opposite direction on these protocols. You know, it's almost, I don't want to say that all NFL players have like a maverick gene or like a rebel gene, but I feel like if you tell people they're not allowed to do certain things and it gets, the grasp gets tighter and tighter on people as the goal diminishes, right? Because their team's starting to stink. Mm-hmm. If it has no chance at the playoffs, yeah. I'll be intrigued to see how that gets handled, you know, because you would think, you know, hey, you're in the NFL, you get to play in the NFL.
That's right.
Privilege.
Especially now in the world that we're in. You have no right to be pissed off about the world that you're living in because the world that we're all living in, mm-hmm. you have to figure that out. But then you can also say, like, oh, it's a fucking human, you know? And if you're being told that you have to do all this to get this, and this is no longer possible, okay, so how do you just got to expect that a human's going to do that. But you would hope, hey, takes all of us.
Takes all of us.
Don't forget.
You're getting paid money to do this, all right? This is your job now, all right? You used to think you got paid for practice? You don't get paid for practice anymore.
No.
You get paid to isolate, okay? Be hard to be a human, though.
You know? It would be very hard to be a human.
Yeah, especially when you're 0-11.
Yeah. Oh. 0-11, maybe 2-whatever, 3-whatever, 5-whatever, and you know you have no chance unless you're in the NFC East. You're like, okay, yeah. You know what I'll do? I'll come here, hate my life here, not allowed to talk to eat or with anybody, mm-hmm. talk to anybody. Then I'll go home, and I'll just lock myself in my room, and I'll hate myself here. I got it, okay? We'll do this for the next 5 weeks. And what we're saying is, that's what you got to do.
Got to do it.
God, it sounds terrible.
For the Shield.
At Boston Connor, at Ty Schmidt. It Thankful Wednesday, uh-huh. You guys were very, very, very serious about getting a thank you in as a group, as a pair.
Yep.
Would you guys like to take it from here?
Yeah, we just wanted to give a special thank you on Thank You Wednesday to Take.
Thank you, Take!
Right. Love you, Take.
I love you.
Taker's done a lot for all of us. I think we can all agree on that. And just, you know, everyone was getting their opportunity. We wanted to make sure that we got our chance too. So thank you, Take.
Thank you, Take.
For those that don't know, that is Undertaker. Mm-hmm. Okay, and they celebrated 30 years of Undertaker at Survivor Series on Sunday.
What a run.
They had it in 3 decades.
Wow. 3 decades.
Thank you, Tiger.
Thank you, Tiger. The hashtag was thank you, Taker. And boy, some of those messages saying thanks to Undertaker were very interesting. I don't think any of us could have expected Undertaker to have that type of reach and that type of appeal. But he was trending for, I think, 48 hours.
Yeah.
And some of them were giving him credit for their children.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Their entire life.
Uh-huh. Thank you, Tiger.
It's like, yo, Undertaker was awesome.
Yeah,
hell
he was.
Of a run. I agree. But boy, he affected some people much more than others. And we saw a lot of that on Twitter. And you two just couldn't help but, you know, really, really just go ahead and put a megaphone on that.
I mean, he's been a father figure for so many that if we didn't shine a spotlight on Tiger, then, I mean, what would we be doing as a society?
They had a song they're creating out there.
Who, these guys?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not ready.
Should we?
It's not ready yet.
It's Thankful Wednesday.
It's kind of just like a chorus.
It is Thankful Wednesday.
I mean, it just, you know, it's something like,
thank you, Take, miss you, Take, what?
You know, you just.
Love you, Take, need you, Take, what?
You know it's all.
You get it.
They're going to just keep going back.
They are going to be chanting that at Mania this year. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Need you, Take, love you, Take, what?
I just want everybody to know that one was for us. That whole last 5 minutes there was strictly for the office.
Mm-hmm. And Take.
And Take.
And Take. Okay? Let's not forget those 30 years.
Legit, man. I was reading some things on Twitter about what Taker did for people.
Long time.
Man. It was crazy.
Yeah, it really was.
Undertaker might be the most impactful human to ever exist.
Yeah. He baptized a child. I saw. Take the Pope, more like it.
By the way, thank you, Taker.
Thank you, Taker.
Viva Lazita, what is your poll for the day?
We have a Thanksgiving poll today. What's your favorite side for Thanksgiving? We threw three out there right now. Mac and cheese in the last, 25.1. A lot of people say it does not go with Thanksgiving, though. Very shocking in the comments. Huh.
Well, that's interesting because we only put it in there because Russell Wilson has a Cooking with Russ segment now on his Instagram where he had a top chef teach him and his chef how to make good macaroni and cheese. It was a very delicious looking meal. And he said, macaroni and cheese, great side. So that's why it made it on this.
Yeah, so I was really confused by that.
Russell Wilson, I thought...
Is he a liar?
Zito said yesterday if he had his choice, he would only have mac and cheese.
I love mac and cheese.
And I would assume that the people who eat mac and cheese, like, they'll bring out any reason to eat mac and cheese. Like, my wife loves mac and cheese.
Oh, yeah.
And that thing, it goes with a lot of things I would never have expected.
It goes with anything.
I have seen mac and cheese at plenty of Thanksgiving, I do believe.
Yeah, I just don't think it's one of the upper tier items, really.
Really? Finish your last two.
Sorry, stuffing's next at 36.5%, and mashed potatoes, 38.2%.
That's Thanksgiving.
Boom.
Yeah, mashed potatoes people are all, you know, like, they just do exactly what they're told.
Correct.
Whoa. Mashed potatoes are the best part.
Like turkey and mashed potatoes. Just have a great Thanksgiving. Okay, we get it. Fucking, but we've experienced it now. Stuffing is 10 to 15 times better than mashed potatoes.
I've never agreed with you more.
We understand that mashed potatoes were a staple of a lot of things for
those
a long
are
time.
Put them in a bowl and fuck it.
Yeah, we get some easy butter, to make. Congrats. This is before we had taste buds and stuff like that. Before people were like, let's make things. I understand that mashed taters are important in the fabric of, you know, just families in existence. Okay, I get it. But you cannot look that deep fried fucking turkey in the eye and say, hey, these taters taste better with you than that fucking stuffing right there that came right out of the inside of you right there. I mean, you got to be shitting me right now.
It feels like we're forgetting the mash, and are we going to have to start a thank you, mashed, as well?
No.
Because mashed are basically the taker of the Thanksgiving dinner.
That's not true.
Yeah. It's been around a lot longer than 30 years, pal. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, Bruno Sammartino is the mashed potatoes. Okay, that is the mashed potatoes. The man that was the champion for like 20 years straight. That is what mashed potatoes was. Bruno Sammartino, by the way, great Pittsburgh guy, great Italian guy, badass.
Yeah.
Sold out Madison Square Garden all the way up into Canada. Whoa. Okay, I love Bruno Sammartino. What I'm saying is, I think things have evolved, you know. I think things have evolved. Now you can't see particular wrestlers that are at the top of the world. You know what I mean? There's things that have evolved. That's what mashed potatoes is. It's the staple. Okay, it held it down.
Mm-hmm.
It was great.
Okay.
All right. Have it on the side. Needs so much salt to make it taste worth a single fuck at all. But like, put it on the side.
It's the damn glue of the entire meal.
Thank you.
Just disparaging
glue.
It.
Yeah.
Glue.
Why? Yeah. The stuffing is inside the fucking turkey.
That's true.
That is the glue.
The glue.
Technically,
yeah.
The gravy is the glue that brings it all together.
Now, granted, gravy on taters, mashed potatoes, really good. You know why? Because the gravy is fucking unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, the gravy, I would say, was potentially the next step after the mashed potatoes because everybody got so sick of it. They're like, can we add some flavor to this fucking thing?
Okay.
Let's add some gravy. Now the gravy becomes big Thanksgiving.
I put butter and corn and gravy on top of my mashed potatoes because they're just not good enough by themselves.
Yeah.
That's damn kinda you. What,
they do need a lot of salt and pepper.
Yeah. Well, that's because they stink.
You guys have to get a new potato chef. I'll tell you that much.
Well, now, if you go like deep, double fried or something, double baked, twice baked, triple baked, those are good. Listen, I'm not saying all potatoes are bad.
Sounds like it.
Sounds like it. Bashing the only good thing that came out of Ireland. Here we go.
Oh. Whoa.
You shame me.
Don't you even. I would rattle off all the things that Ireland created that are awesome. Mm. Okay, right now I would, but we don't have enough time, and I don't want you to distract the conversation because that's what somebody does whenever they're losing the conversation, and I don't have time for that.
Snakes.
What I'm saying is, if you think about all the things, we ran those motherfuckers out of there. Shout out St. Patrick's Day, March 17th. You're welcome, everybody.
Yeah.
But
not
anyways,
celebrate, Nick.
Let's talk about the things that potatoes have done well. Okay.
Okay.
That double baked one, good. I think baked potato, with all the shit in it. Not alone. Can't eat alone. Because if you eat alone, guess what? Mashed potatoes. So you put all the shit in there, it is good. I think tater tots, unbelievable. I'm a big tater tot fan. Absolutely big tater tot. French fry fan. Big fan. Except for the steak fries. You know why? Steak fries got mashed potatoes inside of them. They're the worst fucking fries.
They get
this
soggy.
This gets me right back to the point that the people that are voting for mashed potato as the number one side are just told that they're supposed to vote that their entire life. And I'd like them to potentially open their horizons in their taste buds.
Breaking news, we're tied.
We're tied?
We're tied now.
Let's see. This is a good campaign we're going on.
37.7%.
Your guys' little boring-ass, terrible-tasting thing?
No.
Crashing right now.
Water will find its level. Mash will win this poll. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, listen, I like stuffing too, but you acting like it's some flavorful burst in your mouth. It's just soft bread and celery. Like,
well, you're not so having the right stuffing, dude.
Dude, stovetop, bro?
No, hell no.
Have a nice Italian stuff. You throw a little prosciutto in there.
Oh, I love prosciutto.
Are you kidding me? I didn't even know that existed.
Oh, yeah. Makes it homemade. Relax. That guy's number one potato product is potato skin, so he needs to step himself out of the conversation.
Oh, shit.
That's pretty good. Potato skins are very good. TGI Friday potato skins, you don't get any better than that.
What's that? Baked potato with fried dough. That's all that is, right? Just kind of cutting the corners.
With all the loading, baby.
Yeah, it's got cheese and bacon on it.
And some chives.
Now, there's no chance I'm going with that over a tater tot if a tater tot is available. And there's loaded tots in certain places. Oh, yeah. You can't get that for delivery, though, because then, you know, the loadedness kind of ruins the tots or whatever.
Soggy.
But, boy, if you can get the tots, you get the tots.
Hey.
And shout out to Napoleon Dynamite, too, just basically making an entire movie off that goddamn thing.
And you know why I like the TGI Fridays potato skin the best? It has the least amount of potato. So it's the least amount of mashed potato skin.
What we're saying is the best potato products have the least amount of potential mashed potato involved with it. Okay? That's all we're saying. So whenever you're voting on this poll, at Viva Lizito's poll, we're telling you to please take it serious, because you want all that way to make sure you were
registered to vote.
And then you vote on this poll. Your vote matters. Counts. Your vote counts. Your vote says something about
it. This election is a fraud. I mean, the Italian vote is going to completely take over here, and it's not even going to be a real election.
Italians don't have anything to do with
it. All right.
Yes, they hate mashed potatoes.
Diggs is blacked out putting corn on his mashed potatoes.
I will say, Diggs, the thing that did affect our argument about the stuffing over the mashed potatoes is that just moments before that, we talked about how you're normally blacked out while eating the Thanksgiving dinner. So everything kind
of
tastes better.
I'm also a fan of starting Thanksgiving dinner at noon. So, blacked out.
Kind of right in the perfect spot. You're right. You're right. So everybody that was thinking that, get off it. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I heard you just mentioned something, I think, about him not even remembering eating Thanksgiving dinner or something like that.
Yeah,
it can't happen. He eats it at noon, dude. He eats it at noon.
Second win. By the way,
Diggs, happy Thanksgiving, man.
Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, let's enjoy this stuffing.
Let's enjoy it.
You know, I've been on keto for like a month or whatever. Tomorrow.
See ya.
It's a stuffing day, dude. Ooh. Now, granted, maybe mashed potatoes, too, because a lot of carbs and no. So, somehow, they have a lot of carbs and no flavor. The carbs bring the flavor. You know what I mean? Like, that's why the keto diet is so difficult, because, you know, most of the stuff, if you're not eating meat, you there's really nothing with flavor because the carbs bring flavor. But potatoes, like, wait a fucking minute. I can do that for you. And just comes in with the mashed potatoes.
You ever seen The Martian? Guy had to put Vicodin on his potatoes to make it tolerable.
Yeah. And that's out of this world, dude.
He was living alone.
Out of this world. That's when he was dead. He was damn near dead, that guy.
Eat what you want. Just make sure before you sink your teeth into whatever you want, you thank for what he's done in these past 30 years.
Eric Ebron and Devlin Hodges, Doc Hodges, just both tweeted that this is bullshit.
Oh, so the game. Game's getting moved. All right, so right here?
Yep.
It is currently 12:48 Eastern Standard Time on this thankful Wednesday, November 25th, 2020. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving. We hope you have a great holiday, and we hope you do it in an incredibly safe fashion. When you eat the turkey, go ahead and grab that stuffing before anything else, because it's better than every other option on the table. Don't even think about mashed potatoes, because mashed potatoes aren't good unless you put everything that's good on top of it. The mashed potatoes were good about 100 years ago. They have evolved. We are appreciative of them, but if you grab the mashed potatoes before the stuffing, you are a stooge. Now, while you're you're eating that food, or maybe you're potentially in a coma coming out of eating that food from earlier in the day. A game that was supposed to be played is the Baltimore Ravens versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. That game is happening in Pittsburgh. That is an AFC North matchup where people battle each other, and it is very, very ground and pound tough football game. Pittsburgh Steelers undefeated coming into this game. Earlier in the year, they were forced to take an early bye week whenever COVID hit the Tennessee Titans. Now, on this Thursday night game, Thanksgiving game with a hot Steelers team, the Baltimore Ravens have at least five players that have tested positive for COVID. Two players from the Pittsburgh Steelers named Duck Hodges, who is most famous for
registering people to vote.
And Eric Ebron, who's a tight end for the Pittsburgh Steelers, both have tweeted that this is bullshit. There has been rumors that the game is potentially going to be postponed because of the COVID outbreak in the Baltimore Ravens facility. Will it get moved to Sunday? Will it get moved to Monday, Tuesday? Will they have a week 18? Will they do other things? There's a lot of potential outcomes here, and we will continue to update as the news comes in. And we must add in that we are only saying that this game is potentially postponed because two members of a team that would be potentially getting fucked here have tweeted that this is bullshit.
Wow.
This is wild.
These motherfuckers.
Damn. Dude. 18 playoff on both sides.
It's going to happen. This is.
Yeah.
This.
I mean, you're still not in. So don't.
You saw.
No, but it's not about that. Steelers aren't going to get a bye now.
You heard the New England Patriots fan in the middle of that start celebrating and pumping his hand, celebrating. That's because the NFL has had a conversation that if a week 18 is needed, they will also add a one other team in each conference into the playoffs, making it a 16 team playoff, eight per each side. This year, they upped it from 6 to 7. Now they're going from 7 to 8 because of the potential postponements and games having to matter at the end of the season. The Pittsburgh Steelers now, even if they were to go undefeated, would not have a bye week after it, or they would have a home playoff game after having their bye week in week 4 of the season. All odds are stacked against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and things are only getting worse if this game is officially postponed off of Thanksgiving. Okay, so we have breaking news now. Diana Rossini, who is she announced the Titans postponement, I do believe. Oh, yeah. She was of ESPN, at Diana ESPN. The Steelers and Ravens game, which was scheduled for Thanksgiving night, has been moved to Sunday per source. So this is bullshit, says Duck Hodges and Eric Ebron. Pittsburgh Steelers fan at Tony Meatball Diggs over there. He's not happy about it. Now there's a potential week 18, which was a week that the NFL had considered adding in there in case there was no other games to be able to be moved or be not. They're doing this on Sunday. Okay, here we go. The week 18, not alive yet. Not alive yet. Mm-mm. Cleveland Browns had a positive this morning, though. Maybe there'll be a... Oh, no. Buckle up. This season is going to get very, very good. Confirming previous reports, Ian Rappaport at Rap Sheet, the Ravens Steelers game previously set for Thursday night is being postponed to Sunday afternoon, the first in several weeks. Here we go, dude.
This is fucking John Harbaugh, that piece of shit, dude.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he cries about Vrabel. He cries about fucking everything. Not too bad for a running back. We have running back quarterback stinks. That's why they moved the game. They had to give him a couple extra days to try to make this a fucking competitive advantage game.
Wow.
That's a bit of an overreaction.
I'm with Tony.
Put in the alternate line.
Lock in the Steelers at whatever it's at right now. They're taking the Ravens out back on Sunday.
I would like to let you know, though, that we thought this was potentially going to happen to the Tennessee Titans. They couldn't practice. The Oakland Raiders, or the Las Vegas Raiders, they couldn't practice. Mm-hmm. They come out and play good football, by the way.
Yeah.
Ravens won't be able to practice all week, no matter who's in or who's out, right? All five players probably not going to be able, and I assume there's going to be more. So they won't be able to practice going into Sunday. The only thing that sucks is the Pittsburgh Steelers now, not only did they be forced into a bye week that they didn't know was a bye week until Friday of the bye week, okay, early because the Tennessee Titans week 4. Now they've Monday, they didn't even have a Tuesday off this week.
No.
Very interesting. Everyone else in the league gets COVID. Well, we're not postponing the game. We'll do everything we can to keep playing the game. Yeah. Now all of a sudden we got to move games around. It's bullshit.
Oh, Steelers fans are not happy. That is wild.
This game's getting moved again, too. It's getting moved
Monday
again.
Monday or Tuesday. Uh-huh. And then the Steelers are going to have to play up for it.
Yep.
Not to mention, now we got to watch two shit games on Thanksgiving. We don't even get to watch good teams play football.
That does stink. That does. Yeah, exactly. Diggs will be blacked out probably now, even earlier than normal on Thanksgiving. Let's
start. Probably soon as fucking show's over.
This is... That stinks.
Brutal.
Listen, first of all, We hope everybody survives.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Of course. Health as well.
I didn't hear a lot of that out of tone or out of Nick right there.
No, they don't care.
Did you hear any potential thought about any of these Ravens players dying?
Fuck them.
It's rivalry, baby.
Oh, Dicks, that is not. We hope they survive.
The denominator says so.
No, shit.
Tony!
I can't do it. The Ravens not only are screwing up this game, this is going to screw up their bye. The Ravens are the ones now who are going to fuck the Steelers out of a bye.
It's wild. It's great. Hey, I watch a Queen's Gambit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
This is the Sicilian close.
This is
the close Sicilian. I mean, this is battling it out with the Knights, though. Uh-huh. You're battling it with the Knights in the middle of the board here. This is high-level thinking by old Harbaugh.
Yeah, can't beat him on the field. Got to resort to chemical warfare. Real Knights.
That is bringing the virus over here.
Jeez Louise. That does stink, though. Now, listen, we hope everybody survives, okay?
For sure.
Of course.
But that stinks for the holiday.
Big time.
We got Lions, Texans, Cowboys football team. This is old-school Thanksgiving football. Only two teams wanted to play on Thanksgiving every year, and now they've turned it into a complete market mess. Cowboys, Lions, Thanksgiving football. It's all you need. So sorry to interrupt. I want to let you know that Burrow offers the easiest, most convenient way to get a comfortable new sofa delivered right to your door. And it's not just sofas, Ty.
Really?
Yeah, all Burrow furniture is thoughtfully designed for function and practicality and designed to go perfectly together. It's foolproof furniture, high quality, stylish, and built to make your life easier.
That's perfect.
Yeah, it's practical and adaptable. Assemble a Burrow sofa by yourself without any tools or help in just minutes.
Minutes?
Minutes. Add seats or rearrange them from love seat to sofa to sectional and even back.
Wow.
Wow. It's built for real life. It includes thoughtful features like a built-in USB charger.
Huge.
Need that.
Mm-hmm.
Need that. It's made from durable materials that resist stains and scratches. Their durable fabric options now include performance velvet.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Customize everything to create your dream sofa. Choose the color, fabric, arm style, leg style, size, and shape of your seating. Attach the chaise lounge addition to any seat or go with a floating ottoman. Whatever tickles your fancy. There's more than sofas. Burrow also offers clever storage-focused coffee tables, modular, easy-to-hang wall shelves, credenzas, and benches. Those credenzas.
I've been looking for a new credenza.
Renters can build it with no tools, and it's easy to move wherever you want to go. If you have a commitment phobe, no big deal. They change styles, assemble, move, rearrange. If you have a walk-up, if you live in a walk-up, no carrying a full couch up and down the stairs. Pets and families, no big deal. It's scratch and stain resistant. Anyone who wants stylish quality furniture but doesn't know where to start needs to go to Burrow.
Go to Burrow.
Right now, you can save an extra $75 off your purchase by going to burrow.com/McAfee. That's burrow.com/McAfee for $75. Off.
That's a hell of a deal.
That's a hell of a deal. Back to the show. College national champion, Super Bowl champion, AJ Hawk. What's going on? AJ, we're about to be joined by a guy, okay, who better have some answers because there's some mad Steelers fans in the world right now. We got a caller from Israel named Michelle who is very pissed about this game being moved. We'll listen to him, and we'll talk to him in a little bit. Diggs has said very terrible things about the Baltimore Ravens already on this show. Tom Pelissero, NFL Network and Insider, and also special Thanksgiving edition of NFL Game Day Morning airs Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on NFL Network. And let's assume that the NFL Network will also put together a hell of a show for the night because Steelers Ravens has been canceled. Joining us now, Tom Pelissero.
Yeah!
Tom, let's get right into it, okay? A lot of Steelers fans are going to tell you you should not be smiling right now, okay, Tom?
Yeah.
There are people that thought. There we go. All right, thank you. There we go.
Thank
you. Thank you for kind of put the serious face on. There are people that are saying that they didn't think 2020 could do anything worse. Taking the Steelers Ravens off of Thanksgiving night, whenever I think America needed this, and that's going to sound dramatic, okay? America needed Steelers Ravens on Thanksgiving night, I think maybe to calm a lot of storms that are potentially happening in small gatherings around the country, not big gatherings. What are you hearing about this? And how come the Niners had like 10 people out in the game, still went on? Why is it different for this particular game? Is it because of the importance in the AFC North?
It's not about the importance in the AFC North. It comes down to a bunch of different factors, one of which being there's not been a game postponed since week five. Okay, so it's been a long time. Ever since they instituted their high-risk close contact protocols, they've found ways to isolate people, to take away, in some cases, like with that 49ers game, you had a guy, Kendrick Bourne, who tested positive and then tested negative and tested positive and tested negative, but he was out, and he had several close contacts, including Brandon Ayuk, Trent Williams, who couldn't play for that game. But you're talking about, in that case, one positive test and then several close contacts. That's happened to other teams. The Packers in that same game had Jamal Williams was ruled a close contact for that game, among others, because they were close to A.J. Dillon. So this is not the first time that somebody would be down some players. It really has to do with this is the first time that you've had, and I want to be careful to not use the word outbreak here, because the NFL is doing its genomic sequencing and all mm-hmm. these different things, interviews to figure out whether or not the virus is actually spreading within the Ravens or whether in some cases it's just a lot of different people getting a lot of virus from different places and bringing it in separately. But this is the first time that you've had a bunch of infections with one team that are still ongoing up close until kickoff. That's kind of what played out with the Titans weeks ago when you had 20-plus cases with them between players and staff. At this point, you've got at least five players and five staff members who are confirmed positive. There's additional tests or additional positives with some staff members there. They're trying to get a handle on the totality of the situation. It's not a competitive decision. It's really about this is one of those rare cases where because of the number of positive tests and how close it's happening to kickoff, they felt like the best thing to do was push the game back 3 days.
I thought it was seven. It's not seven players. It's only five players.
Seven players are going to be on the reserve COVID-19 list, but only five that we know of are confirmed positive because, of course, you can also land on that list because close contact. You also, in certain cases, can land on that list because you had a positive that has not yet been confirmed as a positive. Got really, it. What the NFL wants to do is make sure, are you going to have three more guys test positive tomorrow? I mean, they're getting tested every day, so how far is it spreading? How is it spreading? Is it spreading within the club? Because, I mean, let's face it, in the United States, you have massive amounts of infections everywhere, including hotspots in some NFL cities. So naturally, you're going to have more guys get exposed. You're going to have a rise in infections, which is exactly what's happened in the NFL. Just because a team has multiple positive cases doesn't mean player X gave it to player Y. Maybe they both got it from their wives or their kids or, you know, the grocery store, whatever, and brought it in. That's all the stuff they got to figure out.
Tom, I know the whole league is in like this intensive protocol right now. Is there a mega intensive protocol? Is there another step up we could get to?
Yeah, come on. We locked this thing down.
Yeah, we're doing this. This is actively happening. They sent a memo again like two nights ago. It's not an intensive protocol, but now you have a mask mandate on the sideline. If you are not in the game, preparing to substitute into the game, or at least wearing a helmet, you have to have a mask on. And teams have been told you're responsible for enforcing this. If players break the rules, they can be disciplined. If the team does not enforce it, the team can be disciplined. So this is the next level here. What the NFL has really found, and when I say the NFL, I'm not talking about Roger Goodell. I mean the medical experts, Dr. Alan Sills, the mm-hmm. team of epidemiologists who have been advising.
Yeah, yeah.
What they have found is that really your risk is not between the teams. They've not found any evidence that, you know, if you're the, you know, your defensive tackle tests positive, that the offensive guard who's going against them is going to test positive. No, it's when guys are standing together on the sideline that you might be giving it to each other. So they're trying to eliminate that as best they can, have masks mandated on the sidelines. They're already mandated in the locker room. They're now shortening to the post-game interactions, which really weren't supposed to be happening to begin with, and there's already been a mask mandate for those. Most guys weren't following it, so now they're enhancing that, saying it has to be brief. You need to get yourself off the field. This is a moving target. I mean, there have been, I don't know how many updates to these protocols. They're going to keep happening.
That's why Tom didn't go say what's up.
Bingo. No.
Yeah, because the protocol was lifted. Bingo. Everybody wants to make drama out of it because the Buccaneers lost and he had a bad night or whatever. No, it's because he's trying. He knows that it takes all of us. Tom already knows that more than anybody. Whenever the NFL did its entire review of the Titans thing that happened, you know, they ended up fining the Raiders like 10x what they fined the Titans, and the Titans had like 22 players that got it, and they said that they believe that no protocols were broken by the Titans or whatever, and that's with inside the building things and cameras and you know the mask force that's out there with their pen and paper, like their hall monitors out there and everything, and the masks everywhere, and they don't celebrate or talk to people protocols. The Titans did none of that. They had 22 people. So at this point, because we just had the Steelers Ravens, which is our Ravens Steelers Thursday or Thanksgiving night primetime game postponed to Sunday, we can probably assume, right, that there's going to at least be another game that ends up getting postponed and not going to be able to move, and we're going to have that Week 18, and we're going to have the 16-game playoff or 16-team playoff. Is that kind of the assumption around the NFL at this point?
If I've learned one thing, Pat, this season, it's assume nothing. We really don't know from week to week what's going to happen. But I think that if you were, you know, just kind of playing the odds, so to speak, here, you would say that eventually you might end up in a situation, just because, again, infections are rising all over the country, where they would have to utilize Week 18. And by the way, this is exactly why they haven't utilized it. If they had pulled the trigger in, like, Week 7 or whatever, the Raiders had that thing where all the offensive linemen couldn't practice all week, then all of a sudden you're out of options. That was it. That was the nuclear option. Now you have nowhere left to go. What they wanted to do was maintain that Week 18, keep it open until you got to a point where you had to use it. As the playoff picture begins to crystallize here, you might have games in Week 15 or Week 16 that they simply go, you know what? It doesn't make sense right now to be pushing people back from a Sunday to a Tuesday. Now you got short weeks at the end of the year. Now let's utilize Week 18, because the whole thing that the competition committee and the owners approved regarding the potential expansion of the playoff field was tied to all meaningful games being played. If all meaningful games cannot be played, then they would expand the playoff field to 16. At this point, that's not happened. Their plan is still to play 256 games over either 17 or 18 weeks, and they'll utilize Week 18 if they have to make up some games at the end. We're still pretty early to start just going, we're going to take this Steelers-Ravens game and throw that into January.
Got it.
So, Tom, Pat, first off, you pointed to yourself.
Just I drinking shook, there, yeah, Pat. Looks,
then you
looks
pointed to the Hawk.
I pointed to the Hawk as if it was your turn. I pointed to the Hawk as if it was your turn. Like, I didn't want to, you know what I mean? Because Tom gave a great answer there, and I had no follow-ups, by the way.
On AJ.
Pretty amazing.
I preach awareness, and I had zero right there, so that is 100% my mistake.
Well, we can make it even worse if we want to. You absolutely.
Oh, look at you, AJ.
Somebody's been practicing.
Ain't that right?
Yeah.
Attaboy, Tom. Attaboy, Tom.
Hey, Tom. What, don't leave him hanging.
Yeah.
I know the radio listeners love this. It always plays. When we do these shenanigans on video. But Tom, first off, I noticed the pictures joke. Behind you. Pictures behind you, you have Russell Wilson and yourself above the picture of you and your family. Not sure how your wife and kids feel about that. What went into that decision, I guess, to give prime position to Russ?
Nothing up here. I got an email this morning from someone asking me, like, what these orbs are over here.
Yeah.
And my answer just is, like, I got no effing idea. I don't know. They built this thing. They stuck a bunch of stuff. They told me it's mid-century modern. I had no voice in the matter. In terms of the pictures, it's I don't know. I guess that's a really good point. It's never come up. No. Now it will. Thank you. The only thing up here that I own, if you ever see in the background, is the starting lineup, guys. Like, if you ever see Brian Bosworth in the background, '90 era Bos starting lineup guy. That's mine. Everything else, I got no say in it.
So it was NFL Network just sent in like a contractor, and they're like, hey, you can't be in your house, obviously, because you got to self-quarantine away from the contractor that's coming into your house. We'll put a mask on them. They'll build you a backdrop because we are sick of looking at your basement. Is that what they said to you?
This was pre-COVID times. This was like 2 or 3 years ago they came in. Like, this entire wall they just built, and then they were like, I was like, hey, here's some stuff that I like. Could you put this up there? They're like, no. We got triangles for you. We got a lot of triangles. I want to get into your set here.
Tom, let's talk about the Vrabel-Harbaugh situation a little bit here, because obviously Harbaugh's team now, after that whole the loss to the Titans, we think they want the Jimmy's Famous Seafood, had a good time, ate the greatest crab cakes of all time. They probably, you know, dosed a dote a little bit. Are the Baltimore Ravens, is Harbaugh losing the Ravens? Hey, here's a super cliche, catchy question that normally athletes are asked, and if they give an answer that isn't completely on the line, they're like, losing. In your head, as a media person, do you think that there is a little bit of distrust in the Baltimore Ravens organization? Hadn't had a breakout right until now. You got Lamar Jackson saying they're becoming predictable. No players went out there to fight for Harbaugh whenever the other team was there. Is there big distrust in Baltimore right now from what you're hearing?
I have not been told that by anyone, that there's an issue in terms of John Harbaugh with the Ravens players. I do believe that naturally you've reached the point now where, based upon the type of offense that Greg Roman was running with Lamar Jackson when he won the MVP, everybody in the league was waiting for, okay, when teams come up with an answer for that diverse running game and all the option side stuff and the read stuff that they do, what's the next level? How do you take a step forward here? It's the same thing that Greg Roman ran into circa 2014 with the 49ers, where it was, all right, Colin Kaepernick has done a lot of phenomenal things. What's the next level? Well, over time in San Francisco, they tried to have Kaepernick playing more from the pocket. The development was not necessarily to the point where that worked out as well as they would have liked to. And then obviously a lot of different things happened with Kaepernick, so I'm not comparing the two situations. But the point is, when you're running that style of offense, teams eventually are going to find answers for it. That's the nature of the NFL. When anybody's doing something new from year to year, week to week, people are going to come up with different answers for it, and you've got to have a counterpunch. And right now, the Ravens, it seems, are just trying to figure out what exactly is their counterpunch. You know, they've had some injuries at running back, which has not helped them. Mark Ingram missed some time. J.K. Dobbins, I think you saw him last week beginning to break out. Now both those guys are on the COVID list, so if this game takes place on Sunday, they're still not going to be out there. It's going to be Gus Edwards. They haven't found a way to get the ball to Hollywood Brown. I mean, these are kind of just fundamental things that they've got to come up with. I think that it's, you know, again, I have not been told by anyone that John Harbaugh is losing that team or losing the locker room. It just seems that they become a little bit stagnant from an offensive perspective. And then defensively, too, there's an evolution that takes place. You trade for Yannick Ngakoue, hoping he can be a playmaker for you. They moved on from Earl Thomas in training camp. They've had some new parts there, and they're not, you know, functioning at as high of a level all around as they were a year ago.
Huh. Hey, what about the Bengals? What are you hearing from them? I know there's some reports saying that the coaching, they don't trust the coaches. There's a toxic relationship going on or whatever. Are you hearing anything?
And Rappaport told us just a couple days ago that he has heard nothing about Zach Taylor potentially being run out of town. Has anything changed since that whole thing came out?
Knowing how the Bengals operate and how patient they tend to be, and they're the team that probably, I have never fully vetted this, but I would guess statistically they cut fewer players. In other words, they keep everybody as long as possible. Coaches, players, they probably do that more than anybody within the league. And so I think that in any other situation, when you're a two-win team a year ago, when you're staring down the barrel of potentially being a two-win team this year, depending on how Brandon Allen functions in place of Joe Burrow, at quarterback, you would have more speculation. Because it's the Bengals, because they don't like to eat money, because they have shown patience with coaches, it's not at the forefront as it otherwise might be. In terms of cultural issues there, that's not something I've heard. I saw the headline that you're talking about. There were some things in there regarding the defensive coordinator, Lou Anarumo, that I definitely have not heard at all in terms of him not getting the buy-in from players. I mean, look what they did in free agency trying to fix the defense. They signed Trey Waynes, hurt in camp, hasn't played the entire season. They signed DJ Reader, the defensive tackle, hurt right away, out for pretty much the entire season. They've had injuries. They've had other issues in terms of that group. That's what's really harmed them on the defensive side. And then, you know, offensively, Joe Mixon's missed like half the year now. Joe Burrow's now out for the season. I mean, we can sit here and talk culture all we want, but it's like when all your good players aren't out there, it's really hard to win football games. And by the way, they might be in one of the best divisions in all of football right now, which doesn't make their task any easier either.
Carlos Dunlap sold his house immediately after the game, right?
Yep.
And he's making plays for the Seahawks, right? They kicked him out of town, basically.
Three sacks, three games.
I would assume that there was a couple people maybe they interviewed for said article. I didn't read the article. I only saw the headline as well. I would assume that they could have found some people that would be like, yeah, I'll let you know how I feel about that place for sure. And I'm not saying Carlos Dunlap spoke. I would assume Carlos Dunlap wouldn't do that. But if Carlos Dunlap, who is a superstar, I assume there's some other people that think there's some potential decisions being made in there that the locker room does not respect, if I had to guess, especially with how Carlos Dunlap has played for the Seattle Seahawks since going over there. I assume there's a lot of people like, yeah, we had that dude on our team that just did the thing and we weren't playing him at all. And anytime you lose, that's going to happen, Tom. You know what I mean? Don't you think? Like there's a chance that some parts of the locker room are going to turn if there isn't success happening at the exact time. That just comes with sucking, I think.
Well, and on top of that, guys like Carlos Dunlap had basically played for one coach ever. And yeah. Marvin Lewis, I remember talking to players about this last offseason when I was still allowed to travel and COVID didn't exist and life was good, talking to Bengals players about what Zach Taylor was doing. And like there were simple things from like the scheduling standpoint, from the structure of practice, from everything else. So they had a degree of success for a long time. With Marvin Lewis, they hadn't won a playoff game, but in a place like Cincinnati where they hadn't won in a long time, they at least were getting into the playoffs. They were winning football games. Then Zach Taylor comes in, and rightly, because they hadn't won big, wanted to change a lot of things. When guys are uncomfortable with that, when their roles start to become smaller and smaller, which Carlos Dunlap's were, you know, I'm not surprised you have some level of dissent among the veterans, but you know, we have not heard that from Joe Burrow or any of the other young players. Some of the people I know there have not expressed anything like that. You know, certainly the oldest trick in the book to call the person who just got traded or just got fired to find the negative parts of a situation. But no, I mean, in my mind, just knowing the people I've talked to, I haven't got a sense that the culture is the issue. It's just about they're trying to do things differently. They're not winning. And a lot of the players they are counting on to help them do that are not even on the field.
Well, you know, they don't have an indoor practice facility either, so mm-hmm. I would like to say that culture.
They go down to the gym at University of Cincinnati.
Which, by the way, University of Cincinnati should be higher in the rankings so they can maybe make a run at the college football playoff. Having them at 7, they got no shot, which is a bummer. But Cincinnati Bearcats are an absolute stud of a team. Stud of a team out there. Austin Eckler broke some news on his own Twitch stream. How'd that make you feel as an insider?
Didn't I break that?
No.
Did he break it? What did he do?
I don't know. I got a bunch of tweets telling me that he broke his own news on his Twitch stream that he might be back this weekend. Hey.
Pretty sure I broke
it. Tommy!
What is it? Twitch stream? Twitch stream?
Yeah, his.
I don't know what that is.
Hey, Tom, can't have that. You can't say that on this. I mean, they're going to.
If you had anybody
that was potentially on your side for breaking this news before Austin Eckler, whenever you just, you know, completely mocked Twitch.
All those people, though.
They're going to kill you,
They
Tom.
Turned against you there. You know what I mean, Tommy?
You're just going to clip out that 3 seconds.
Yeah, exactly.
What is that?
Not us, by the way. We won't do that.
It was yesterday. They made the decision. They're going to return him to practice. He's going to be out there this week. I don't know that he's going to play in the game. At this point, because they may actually give him another week here. But the fact that he's even back after not practicing since week 4 because of that hamstring injury, definitely a positive sign for a Chargers team that could use some good news right now.
Before we let you go, Christian McCaffrey was in a red shirt. AJ and I know that that means you can't touch him. He can still go through everything probably a week out. Is that what you're thinking?
Well, we'll see how the week plays out. The fact that they're at least putting him on the field is a step forward from where he's been coming back from that shoulder. It sounds like Teddy Bridgewater's got a much better shot at playing. They were both out there in red jerseys at the start of practice today. It sounds like if all goes well, Bridgewater is on track for Sunday, faces old team the Vikings. With McCaffrey, we really got to see. I mean, I certainly would not bet on him playing at this point, but we'll see how he's feeling the next few days here.
Hey, Tom, we appreciate the hell out of you, buddy. Every time we talk to you, we feel good. Teddy Bridgewater is always going to have a red jersey on, though. That's just something that comes with the territory of being a quarterback, Tom.
They use that as the injured guy jerseys there, apparently. I think they wear blue. I think they wear blue quarterback jerseys.
Oh, really?
Check me on that. I'll check the Twitch.
Tom! Because I was literally right over your shoulder there. Russell Wilson's wearing a red jersey right over your shoulder. I'm like, Tom knows that they wear a red jersey. There's no reason to.
I'm aware, but I believe that the Panthers wear like light blue quarterback jerseys. I could be wrong on that. I think red is the injured jersey for them.
Isn't it interesting? Because, like, for instance, in Green Bay, the red zone's the gold zone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the red zone's the gold zone. Red jerseys are blue jerseys down there. I mean, there's shells in some places, full pads in other places. It doesn't matter as long as you win, baby. That's all that matters, Tom. Who's going to win the Super Bowl, Tom?
I don't make predictions. Okay. Can't do it.
Won't do it. Can't have
field.
It. Why? Because you then all your connects at the other teams would potentially turn.
Yeah, the other 31 teams are all mad about it then. I'm out of the prediction business. I was never good at it anyway. This is the same reason that I suck at fantasy football.
Yeah.
It's because, like, I'll talk to people. I'll be, like, really excited about, like, some fourth-round draft pick wide receiver that's, like, week 8, and the guy hasn't played, and I drafted him in, like, the 8th round. This is the problem with, like, thinking you know more than you do. Just auto-draft. Definitely the best way to do it.
Attaboy, Tom. You just shit on the fantasy community, too, I think. I mean, the Twitch community and the fantasy community.
Tom,
I absolutely love what you're doing here, Tim.
In every picture I'm seeing here, the Carolina Panthers quarterbacks wear green jerseys.
Oh, okay.
Green.
Okay. Hey, so you're right. You're right. You're 100% right. I was wrong there. That's on me. So that's good news that Teddy Bridgewater's out there and Christian McCaffrey. We need to get Teddy to a green, okay? And we need to get Christian to a
Blue, white, black.
Well, offense, defense, depending on what it is.
One of those.
Yeah.
Looks like it's
Tom Pelissero.
Yeah, Tommy!
Thank you, Tom. Tom's awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He did shit on a couple different communities there.
Yeah, he's going to have a tough day tomorrow.
It's fine.
Feels like it.
Going to have a long day on the internet for old Tom.
He was right there. He was 100% right there with the red shirt, green shirt thing like that. AJ, anything you heard in there that made you go, oh, wow, that's interesting?
I mean, I guess the fact that it sounds like whatever's going on in the Bengals locker room may not be true.
Yeah, it's interesting because like Carlos Dunlap, obviously, probably. I mean, I don't know Carlos Dunlap personally. He's probably not coming out and just bad-mouthing people. I would assume that, you know, that there's a certain trait that people have to have that do that. But if Carlos Dunlap was that pissed off and he was selling the house, I would assume there's others. Like, mm-hmm. I would assume it's not just Carlos that is upset that they're losing and they're not playing. Or so that happens whenever you suck. And by the way, sometimes the players are 100% right, too. It just doesn't really get listened to because things like that happen. Like, they need to play better football.
When that report came out, it was Dunlap and Atkins. And I believe Geno Atkins is still there, so uh-huh. Easily be him.
Oh, but also, if it's Carlos Dunlap and Geno Atkins,
probably more guys.
Assume that there is a lot more guys because those are our two high-end guys. Vets. I mean, those are vets. Been around a long time. Carlos Dunlap, I still got it. He had to be so pumped on that sack to end the game the other night.
Oh.
Just, I mean, he wouldn't drop a suck it sign, but I'm sure he was thinking it.
Fuck you, Cincy!
Kind of bummed, to be honest.
Yeah.
During the break there, went out into the office, did a couple laps, had to walk around, really take it in, had a conversation, and I just put out a tweet about it, and this is going to sound dramatic, okay? I understand this is going to sound very dramatic, and people are going to attack me for this thought. America needed Ravens Steelers tomorrow night.
Big time. Mm-hmm.
Needed it. That game was going to be awesome. Think about the Thanksgiving, you know, maybe at that particular point, something was maybe going to pop off between old uncle and nephew, you know, maybe something was going to go down, and it's like, excuse me. There's two teams that are going to play old school smash mouth football with each other. They're going to beat the hell out of each other. It's going to be a great football game, and there's a lot on the line for this. Let's go ahead and take a moment to put our swords aside and watch these two try to kill each other.
Hell yeah.
You know what I mean? An AFC North match. We needed that. And if there's anything to make me feel better coming off of that, obviously, it'd be a conversation with a man that I dreamed of talking to for a long, long time ever since we started this show. Mm-hmm. A man who epitomizes basically what football is. Born and raised in Chicago, went to Purdue, got drafted to Tampa Bay, even though he was allegedly supposed to be a Pittsburgh Steeler. Ooh. Goes down to Tampa, becomes an absolute legend, changing the game completely. He had a neck roll and combat boots on when he played. Ladies and gentlemen, absolute monster freak athlete, Mike Allstott. Yeah! What's up, man?
What's up, Pat? How you doing, buddy?
Hey, we watched your highlights this morning for like 30 minutes. I absolutely forgot about them calling you the A-Train. It was awesome. Such a great description of the way you played. Do you ever go back and watch them? I would assume that you don't because you're probably not just, you know, so self-indulged, but I would recommend it to you and everybody else. Your highlights are awesome to watch.
No, I know. I don't. I'm watching high school football. That's what I do now. So I watch a lot of film on coaching high school football. So that's all I do.
Yeah, I heard you got a big game coming up, by the way. Good luck. What are we in? We're in a championship? What is it? What do we got going on?
Quarterfinals, round three.
Okay, yeah. So you're coaching. Trent Dilfer, who we watched some highlights of him throwing you the ball, he's high school coaching up there. Phillip Rivers has already signed to be a high school coach. It seems like a lot of NFL guys are getting into the high school coaching ranks. What made you want to do that? Did you always want to coach? Or is it just like something you thought, you know what, I should give back to the game here at the high school level?
I had no desire to coach. I wanted to watch my son and my daughters grow up and be a spectator, and I got involved because I really didn't feel comfortable with the average volunteer dad coaching and not knowing what the hell's going on. So that's how I got involved, and then my son was like, hey, if you're not coaching, I'm not playing. And I'm like, all right, I'm in. And it's been 12 years, 13 years ever since. So, and I've been a head coach here at the school I'm at for the last 9 years. Sorry about my voice, but I just came off the practice field.
Yeah.
Yelling.
Yeah, sometimes you got to let them have it. Listen, that's, by the way, I love that thought. I am not a father yet, obviously. We'll see how that goes with the world. I probably shouldn't reproduce because one is enough of me, but I could see myself whenever my kid is at a practice or something and he comes home, you know, and I'm like, what you learn at practice? And he says something. I'm like, they told you what now? That, okay.
Exactly.
Is exactly what happened, I'd assume.
No, exactly. I wasn't at home. I was sitting in a lawn chair, right, with my Yeti, right, and just, you know, sitting there chilling, and they're all in a 3-point stance, and the coach is going around kicking out their hand, seeing if they have all the weight on their front hand, and I'm like, oh my God, what's going on here right now, right? And so, you know, one thing transpired after another, and it was like, all right, I'm in. And I've been in ever since. And I love it. It's given me my fix since football, because obviously I'm just so passionate. I love it so much. And I was kind of lost for a little bit. And it's kind of given me that, you know, that fix as far as when it comes to football, the game. You know, this game's given me so much. And I love coaching kids, and they play hard for me, and I coach them. I give tough love, and they know that. And it's been great. It's been really a blessing for me in this journey so far.
Yeah, listening to you talk, whenever I assume they probably retired your number or put you in the Hall of Fame or something down there in Tampa Bay, and they did this entire piece where they were interviewing you, and you had great tan, by the way. I mean, it was a great tan. You had a polo on. You know, I mean, it was a great shot. They did the, and you were talking about your plays, and they were asking you about certain plays, whether it was the Super Bowl 3rd-and-1 goal line, where you were basically, you said that, you know, you're entire life you've been working for this moment. There's no way you weren't going to score, and obviously you did. You guys win by like 20 something and win the Super Bowl. It's awesome. But you talked about your style of play and how a lot of it was instinctual, right? You're like, for some reason I could just bounce it out or whatever. You had great instincts for the game. How do you teach that? Is that something you just hope that guys can pick up, your high school kids can pick up? Or how do you think you got to the point where your instincts, because you were, by the way, everybody remembers you for being a bruiser like Mike Allstott. You think of Mike Allstott, people think of the pictures of that big ass neck roll that you wore and in the boots and everything. But if you watch the highlights, which we did literally 30 minutes of them earlier, your lateral quickness was unbelievable. It seemed like your decision making was next level as well. You were a fool. How do you kind of instill that into your high school kids whenever a lot of it is instincts and stuff like that?
Preparation, you know, just, I mean, we talk about lateral. I mean, you work on all that stuff. You get your body used to those type of movements. Off season training, whatever, but right now in season it's all mental preparation. You've already done the physical, you know you've already prepared yourself physically, right? You put your body through so much torture and stuff like that, and you prepared yourself for that. But now preparation mentally, and I'm a big advocate of film. We show our kids, we film practice, we show our kids what they're doing wrong, what they're not, because they can't translate, you know, words and how to do it in the way, you know, if we all been an athlete in some sort of way, you know, at a high level, you know, we understand the lingo, and some of these kids don't, so you have to show them what they're doing wrong through film. And so I'm a big component of that. Like today I had have a practice, did film in the morning. Practice in the morning, offense in the morning. And then I brought my quarterbacks in here. A lot of defense is going on, so we can get some film in so they can understand what I just installed and stuff like that. So that's what I've been successful at. And I prepared a lot during my professional days and understanding when they do this, they're going to do that. And when they do that, they're going to do this. So that's how I've come from my aspect successful.
Were you an obsessive film studier whenever you were playing?
You know, as a fullback and as in a running back, you know, I didn't have to know coverages and stuff like that. All I had to know is the safeties tell you everything, right? So if the safeties roll down, this guy's going to blitz. You know, obviously I had to prepare myself for the blitzes to protect my quarterback and my offensive lineman. So that was kind of like what I have been trained to do in my life, is wherever the safeties will tell you everything that's going to happen in a defensive scheme. So so I studied that and understood how to take on my different linebackers and then go from there.
You would just bury people. And obviously the commentators say the most cliche things of all time, and they're like, you know, when the A-train gets into space, he's not looking for space, he's looking for another jersey to bury.
Yeah.
As a fullback, like, that is something you have to legitimately love, huh? It's just it's going to be me imposing my will on you type mindset.
Everybody always asks me, who's the hardest hitter, right? And I'm like, I can't stand that question. It's like, you know what? My instincts was always to bring the punishment in the pad level to the point of attack, right? To the point of attack. And, you know, I always get initiate and that was my game plan.
Do you think right now you would run for 150 yards every single game, or do you think it would be different? Because it feels like with the defense now, it's a lot of Mike Allstott's almost. They're kind of smaller and faster, but I feel like your type of running style, Derrick Henry's had a lot of success. I mean, Derrick Henry's had a lot of success, and I'm not saying you and him are the same type of runners. I think you're different, but both very good. How do you think your game would translate to today's style of football?
Kind of when I was in my tail end of my career, Gruden and like San Francisco and like Derrick Henry, you know, Tennessee, they're coming back with the bigger backs. Like Gruden was like kind of weeding out the bigger back situation and going to more of the rocket scheme, you know what I mean? Two halfbacks in a game at the same time and getting rid of the pounding, you know, attack. And we've seen if you're successful as of Tennessee and Derrick Henry, you run downhill, you're going to wear out a team. That's what we did Friday night, you know, when I was playing. Hey, you know, we ran downhill in the third and fourth quarter, and, you know, it's very successful. And if it doesn't work, you're still putting a punishment on them, right? And, you know, I really feel that the running game is the most important thing. It sets up everything, and if it doesn't, you're pounding and wearing on those guys until third and fourth quarter, and that's when the big plays come.
I think we all just had a thought real quickly about what a high school football team that was coached by Mike Allstott would look like. Just the thought of just, hey, we're coming right at you every single snap. This is what it's going to be. Every single snap, we are coming for it. That is just...
Don't get me wrong. I am a spread, but we have our different big packages, you know what I mean? Yeah. I am a spread and trips, you know. The reason I got into being a head coach, I just didn't like the way other systems being ran. I coached at high school before. And so I got into design my own system and do different things. And my son was actually a quarterback for me for 4 years. And he went to Purdue for a year and then went and is finishing up at Western Michigan now. But I got into that spread in the passing game and everything. But we do have our big packages. We're going to come downhill. We're going to annihilate you. I mean, that's the mindset we have. I mean, I have my left tackle 6'7", my left guard is, you know, 6'3", my center 6'. I have a 6 foot guard and another 6'3" tackle. So on the right.
Can you guys beat Western Michigan right now? Can your high school team take on the team's unbelievable, huh?
No, we're not unbelievable. They're all young. I mean, again, remember we're talking high school, but they are getting better and they're understanding what an offensive line has to be. They have to be physical first, right? Come downhill, establish the running game, and we're teaching it. Don't get me wrong, we have our weaknesses in different aspects, but again, we have that's our teaching. We love to teach downhill football.
That's awesome. Yeah, I would assume. Connor, what do you got?
Hey, Train, in that NFL films thing, it said you would watch Walter Payton growing up. Now that you're a coach, do you try and emulate, you know, Gruden and Dungy, who you had in Tampa, or you try and combine the two almost?
You know, Dungy and Gruden, night and day. I mean, you talk about, just now. Night and day, let me stay there. And but again, both are great coaches. Both have their different types of styles of coaching. And maybe I have both a little bit. And you're right. When I'm thinking back on it, I never really thought about it. You know what I mean?
Oh boy.
I put my arms around the kids. You know, I try to be their mentor. Try to be a father figure for them. And that's kind of like Dungy does. You know, straight and treats you as a man, hold you accountable, respect. You know, be respectful. In a lot of different ways. And then, you know, Gruden. He's a feisty, you know, little guy, and he'll try to, you know, very wordy. And I will get vocal in a way of motivating, but at the same time, it's like, hey, I expect a lot from you. It's kind of like one of those cliches is, all right, if I'm not yelling at you or coaching you or talking in a way that, you know, that we're going to be challenged, then, you know, and I have never done this, but the thing is, I always say it, right? You know, then there's something wrong. Then you should be worried.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. I heard that a lot, by the way, when I was getting yelled at by everybody. It was pretty. It was a lot of fun. Hey, whenever I stop yelling at you, that means something's wrong. It's like,
right?
Well, that doesn't make any sense. I'll continue to get chewed out if you want me to. I mean, let's go ahead and do it.
right?
The So whenever you played, and you talked about preparation and torturing your body, I believe you gave it an answer, actually. I think that was actually what you said, torture your body. What were your workouts like? Because in those highlights, and I assume this video is going to get a lot more views after today because of how much we've been hyping it up, and I want to let you know, it'll be worth the watch.
Yeah.
Yep.
Your highlight, the NFL Films package that they put together, fucking unbelievable to watch. But your legs were, I mean, just... What was your workouts like? You just killed yourself, huh? All year you were just, hey, I'm going to go ahead and torture every muscle in my body?
I had unique workouts. When I was growing up, you know, I ran a lot of hills. I ran a lot of stairs. Did numerous things. When I was in high school, I pulled tires in my backyard. you know, when I was in high school, I pushed my buddy's station wagon, and we pushed it, you know, in the cornfields where we grew up, right on the outside of town, from telephone to telephone pole there, 100 yards. We would push them, crank on AC/DC, Led Zeppelin, and go ahead, right? And push it, and, you know, put in neutral on a huge stair. I'd steer, he'd push, and we would just take this thing all the way down for, I don't know how far, but it was just, and then I brought that to college, where probably read about it, maybe not, but, you know, pushed my Jeep in the parking lot, you know, where the band practice was marked off 100 yards. You know, just, you know, creative stuff like that that I thought it was important, you know what I mean, to do it, you know, in the weight room all the time. I've always been just that overachiever, hard worker, trying to get her done, you know, from up north, trying, you know, get her done type of guy. And, you know, just working hard and had heart and just wanted to play at the high level. And when I got to that highest level after I was drafted, I just didn't want to be there. I wanted to be the best, and I wanted to help my team in every fashion possible. And, you know, I mean, just stuff like that, you know, and had great people around me, great coaches, great players, you know, you know, great people that helped me get to where I needed to get to.
So you were first one in, last one out, coach's son, mm-hmm. high motor, crafty,
wow.
yep. sneaky athletic, lunch pail type of guy, hard hat type
lunch pail type of guy, right. You know what I mean? I didn't have all the skill. I had to create that skill. You know what I mean? I had to make sure my craft, you know, I bring my lunch pail to work every day. All right, we figured out. Get her done.
You are the best dude on earth, man. The boys here and I, we're so incredibly excited to chat with you, man. We can't thank you enough for taking time. Hope the boys go get it.
It's a pleasure. Anytime, let me know. I'd love to be on again.
I'm going to take you up on that offer. I hope you know that.
No, seriously, let me know, brother. I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Wow. A guy you will hear from again, yeah. I assume relatively soon, one of the greatest humans ever exists, the A-Train, Mike Allstott. Thank you. Yeah. Good luck.
Hey, man. Hey to all of you. Happy Thanksgiving, man, right?
Oh, yeah. Happy Thanksgiving to you, man. The Ravens Steelers got canceled. So, I mean, maybe Thanksgiving gets canceled, too. I'm not 100% sure.
Right? Seems like it anyway, right? In this room.
A-Train, you ain't never lie, pal. All right. Thank you, Mike.
Hi, brother.
All right, see you, coach. So we got the A-Train on again, it sounds like?
Mm-hmm. The head coach of the national championship high school team in Florida.
Oh, they're national champs? Oh,
they will be after this year. Losing?
6'7" tackle.
Come on.
6'8" guard, 6'3" on the other side, he said. Oh, my God. Hey, I mean, could that have gone any other way? That went exactly how we thought.
He's exactly who I expected.
He's pushing Jeeps in the things.
Cornfields.
Station wagons, telephone pole to telephone pole. I mean, he's the man.
That's what did you talk about it last week? Like, people like, oh, if I just didn't have that knee injury, I'd be in the pros.
Yeah.
Were you pushing cars down the...
Yeah, were you... Ike Taylor's kid is what? Runs a mile every single morning and does 100 push-ups before he even eats breakfast before his high school. It's like, yeah, I understand a coach probably screwed you. Okay, mm-hmm. I understand that. But were you potentially putting yourself in the greatest position to potentially succeed, not get screwed? That is the question that should be asked. And I'd assume you have, but others I'm talking about, not just you, others. Yeah, I mean, Mike Alston, what a guy. I'm so happy we had that conversation with him. Which is the football guy. Look up the NFL Films thing if you have time today. You should. By the way, actually, tomorrow, Ravens Steelers game's canceled. Yeah, we got a replacement. We got a replacement for the Ravens Steelers. Go ahead and go to, I don't know what the title is. What did we watch? What was the name of that thing, Nick?
I don't know the exact title. It was an NFL throwback, though. So NFL, just type in NFL throwback Mike Alstott.
It was like 20 minutes long, it felt like. And then that leads, obviously, into the way YouTube does. It's like, all right, here we go. Now you're in a wormhole of Mike Alstott. And we were all the way in there. We were kind of like, we were like the Jamaican bobsled team whenever we were figuring out how to go down the goddamn hill on that wheelie one that didn't have the brakes and they end up that's what we were going down the wormhole like, oh my god, he did what? I can't. Some of the shit he did, it was unbelievable. He Owen Schmidt at West Virginia, after watching the Mike Alstott, when I was watching Mike Alstott highlights, I saw a lot of Owen Schmidt there, and I was like first of all super pumped that I got a chance to relive some Mike Alstott highlights, and then also while doing that, I felt like I was watching some Owen Schmidt highlights as well. The big bruiser, just lunch pail guys.
Yeah,
who were like, look, we were the Ryan Fitzpatricks, but at fullback. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like the guys who will run their face into a fan to win a football game. Does not matter. They will do it. There's not a lot of those anymore, and mostly because science has been telling everybody you should not do that. But Mike Alstott's about to lead a national championship high school game. He was awesome to watch, man. Scared of nothing. For good reason, by the way. Mm-hmm. For good reason.
Could you imagine being that Pop Warner coach kicking out kids' hands on a three-point stance Mike and watching him?
With his Yeti. said he was going to launch him with a Yeti, so he's got a beard.
Shaking his head.
He's got his foot up on the Yeti. Okay. Just hanging out, probably sunglasses on. And he's watching these three-point stance. He's got his beer. Cracks it open. He's drinking it. He kicks the first person's hand. You see his hand. Excuse me. Does it again and again.
All right.
Go. Get the fuck away from my child. I didn't even think about that, by the way. And I assume that's why a lot of these NFL guys are getting into coaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it does feel like the more and more people we talk to, the more and more high school coaches are coming from the NFL, which, by the way, good for the game.
Great for the game
for high school kids to have NFL coaches because they've been there with the recruiting process, too, so you know if you're getting screwed or not. The business side of it. Now, granted, the social media aspect of it is something that maybe the next generation of NFL guys that go back and coach high school football. But I like that a lot of NFL guys are going back and doing that. It's good for the game. Great for the game. Now, they're not going to get paid. And I would assume a lot of those guys at some point are going to realize that and be like, okay, we got to do something to get paid here at some point. But it is great for the game. The NFL had a big high school football initiative, I think, a couple years ago.
Really?
Yeah, they pushed something. I forget.
They used to always show the highlights on Sunday night games. They would go on location to like a high school football game every week. I remember them doing that on NBC.
And I think there was like a high school national football coach of the week that was there was like a big high school football coach initiative. I know at the Colts, they would bring in all the high school coaches in the state a couple practices a year or something like that. It was always a big thing. I like the NFL trying to dive into like high school football because that's where you can teach a lot of habits, by the way. And I would assume the NFL has seen some things coming that has been happening. They're like, we got to reteach some stuff here. Potential offensive line play. I would assume big physical football right there. Mm-hmm. Mike Alstott. Whenever you're playing a Mike Alstott coach football team, hey, you're in for a long day.
Strap up.
The holidays are just around the corner. Are you looking for a way to stay connected with loved ones during the holidays? Listen, Thanksgiving is tomorrow, and everyone knows that there might be a couple family members you're not going to be able to see this year, given what's going on. Same deal with Christmas. Who knows if you're going to be able to do a large gathering with a lot of your family members. So you might be thinking you really need to give a gift so that your presence can be felt. Skylight Frames is the perfect gift for that. For a really special gift for the special people in your life, you've got to check out the Skylight Frame. Skylight Frame is a photo frame you can update instantly by email from anywhere. It's a great way to feel close to those you love even when you're separated, and it sets up effortlessly in under 60 seconds. Just plug it in, use the touchscreen to connect to your wireless network, and enjoy. Sending photos to Skylight is effortless too. Everyone in the family can just email them to your personal Skylight email address and they'll pop up in seconds. Multiple people can send photos to the frame, so it's a great way to keep large networks of friends and families in touch. It has a black frame and white mat, so it looks like a real photo frame that adds a beautiful touch to your home. Plus, Skylight Frame has a gorgeous 10-inch screen. You can swipe through photos with your finger and even tap to thank the person who sent a photo. Plus, it comes with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. If you don't love your Skylight, they'll offer you a full refund. You can preload it with your favorite photos for a personalized gift. Import pictures of you and, you know, your wife, your significant other, your fiance, your girlfriend, whatever it may be. Import those pictures that they didn't even know you had. I gave my mom one of these not too long ago because I knew I probably wasn't going to be able to go home for Christmas this year, and she absolutely loved it. And right now, as a special offer, you can get $10 off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com and enter code McAfee. That's right. To get $10 off your purchase of a Skylight Frame, just go to skylightframe.com and enter code McAfee. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com, promo code McAfee.
AJ, you and I did a segment last week, and I enjoyed it, and I think you did too. And it's Boston Connor's segment. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for questions from other sports shows.
Welcome to Questions from Other Sports Shows.
Gentlemen, let's have a clean, clear conversation here. Let's not, you know, let's not get too angry at each other.
Okay.
The first question, AJ, can you please acknowledge, okay?
Yes.
The first question comes from First Take. Are the Steelers underrated, hold on, or overrated?
Okay, great question. Now, the thing I've been saying this entire time, AJ, is if they're overrated, what's that mean? They get talked about once a week, maybe? They just gave a top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL. Ben Roethlisberger wasn't on it. They just gave a top 3 rookie wide receivers that you would build a team around. Chase Claypool wasn't on it. These motherfuckers are the most underrated team in the history of the NFL. Not just undefeated teams. I'm talking about undefeated, just teams in the NFL history. They're unbelievable. Defense is a game changer, okay? And yeah, Gary Gilbert almost beat them, but hey, we don't know about this new Dallas Cowboys team. That might have been a much better Dallas Cowboys team than the record show. Remember, their entire locker room was crumbling until Gary Gilbert and them right the ship, and then Andy Dalton comes back from losing his head and biting COVID. Now he's leading that team. That might be a different squad. The Steelers are incredibly underrated, and I'm fed up with it.
Well, I mean, I think this is great because it works out perfectly. You are 100% wrong. The Steelers are 100% overrated. Ben's basically on his last leg. Claypool's probably going to burn out. Their defense is going to struggle. They're not going to win any more games. And Diggs is probably going to get sick. So that's all there is.
Yeah, Diggs might get sick. He's got a terrible immune system. But he's got a great personality and he's a good guy. So I don't care about that. Chase Claypool's only getting started. He's not going to wear it. What do you think? Just because he's going to hit the rookie wall at some point? Hate to break it to you. The rookie wall hit about week 2 when they weren't allowed to leave their goddamn house because of COVID. Chase Claypool's only going to continue to grind. And Ben Roethlisberger, he might be on his last leg. But guess what? He thrives on his last leg. Ooh, have you ever seen his entire career? He is the last leg, that guy. And he just wants to win one more Super Bowl right off in his sunset. He said, I'm back because the offensive line loves me and I love them. I'm back because the defense loves me and I love them. Ben Roethlisberger wants to get one more win. That's why they refuse to lose this year in something that's incredibly difficult. They might be the next goddamn 72 Dolphins. Ain't nobody talking about it.
Good. I think we can move on. Pat is born for this stuff. You should be on network TV debating these kind of topics. You should do political arguments too. Like, this is what you were built for.
I don't know why. Wow. Why I have to get sick.
Yeah. What do you want, Diggs to die, dude?
I mean, what? Well, the denominator, I wouldn't die.
Basically, Diggs, what I was trying to mow down everybody I like.
You know, thank you. Thank you.
And I'm a big fan of Ben. I'm a big fan of Claypool. Okay.
That means a lot, H. I appreciate that. Thank
By
you.
By the way, the reason why I went first is because it's much easier to be on the underrated side there than the overrated side. Mm-hmm. You know, I had to jump in there early. And by the way, I'm assuming that that is how those shows go right there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm assuming that's exactly how it goes. All right. I don't believe anything I just said, but I'm going to go ahead and motor it off really quick.
First one to say it, you win.
And I'm going
to
go loud.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, all right, round one, we had a pretty good little go.
Good there. Round. I mean, the second round is more of a dictionary type of round. Mm-hmm. Also comes from First Take. What defines success for the Cowboys season?
Go ahead, AJ, please.
I mean, okay, I just got to let you know. Like, I got to let you behind the curtain. Or the people. Like, I'm trying to find a way to get into this bit. To try to make it a thing. And I can't. Like, I just can't. You're you're obviously very good at it. Oh. And on this show, like doing this, what we're doing, like this whole show, what we've done since COVID started, is the most like authentic I can be in any show that I do. But I just can't bring myself to make a fake argument.
Answer the damn question.
I'm sorry. Like, I honestly want to. Like, I really want to try to drum up some fake energy and do this, and I can't do it. Like, it's not – I guess I'm not willing to do it.
So the season can't be successful is your answer.
So AJ said that they will not have success.
No. Yeah, okay. No success. Fair enough.
For me, I think
– No, what do you mean?
That's what
you said. You can't define –
You can't define –
The question's stupid. This question's dumb.
No.
The Cowboys are going to win the Super Bowl.
You're not allowed to address the questions, dude.
This is sports talk, AJ. Have a little respect, okay? Somebody just hopped over to Channel 82 Mad Dog Sports Radio. And they were here because they want to hear sports talk. This is what sport – this right here is what sports talk is, dude.
Define it!
This is what it is, dude. You either like it or you get off the –
All right, then tell me. Then tell me what defines a successful season for
well,
the Cowboys.
Well, it's funny you say that because I think a successful season for the Dallas Cowboys is if they can somehow keep that train on the tracks to finish the season without it completely imploding down there in Dallas, they should call that a success. Just 6 weeks into this season, new regime, new organization, new head coach. They're sniping windows in apartment complexes that have views of the thing. They're shutting down the media at practice, which I guess has been happening for a long time. They're able to go live and just stream all practice. They're in a changing, a turning of the tide down there. If they somehow get through this entire season without everybody hating each other and without having to cut everybody and salary cap that whole thing, like in week six it looked like it was going to do, and potentially play for an NFC East championship late into the season, that should be a success for them because they look terrible early, and we all thought the Lone Star was about to die off down there.
Wow. Pat ran away with that round. Sorry, AJ. You just got absolutely dominated, dude.
Let's go. One last question.
Okay. Here. This last one, you know, this came from a few people. It was on Monday Night Countdown. It was on the Monday Night Football Halftime Show. And also, Mike Greenberg of Get Up, AJ's favorite show, he also alluded to it yesterday.
Great work there.
Should Joe Burrow, who just blew his knee out, sit out the 2021 season to prepare for the 2022 season? Please, AJ.
Okay. Why? Why would he do this? That's my first question.
He has a point.
If he's ready.
That's tough to answer.
If he gets cleared by a doctor to play football in the NFL, why would he try to sit out some valuable developmental time, some valuable reps he needs? This question is ridiculous.
All right, yeah. I agree, by the way.
What if they still don't have an offensive line, AJ?
By the way, though, here's my other question. What the hell is happening in the 2022 season that makes it so special that he needs to sit out and wait for that?
Well, they'll have an offensive line by 2022.
Fans in the stadium.
Will they? We don't know.
We don't know. We have no idea. And by the way, if he continues to play that style that, you know, the extended play thing, he's going to take a lot of hits anyways. But will they have a new offense in 2022 that, you know, they'll just drop from the sky? You know what I mean? Because if they get a new offense coordinator after Zach Taylor after this year, wouldn't next year be a good year to maybe get a little bit of a relationship built with said play caller and something like that? Or are they going to fire Zach Taylor after the 2021 or after the 2021 season whenever Joe's out for two, and then he can just start with a new offensive coordinator with a new offensive line and
obviously a
clean slate and just it'd be like his rookie year again.
Ooh. Also, another follow-up question I would have to this, how does the rest of Joe's team feel if he's let's say he's back, he's full go like September 25th. And then they're like, hey, guys, I'm good. He stands up in the team meeting. Guys, just want to let you know, good to go. Knee's great. Don't worry. Next season, after you guys finish these last 14 games, I'm going to be a hell of a player for you.
I want to let you know, I'm going to commit to these off-the-field workouts that I'll be doing for the next season or so. Okay, and I'll see you guys next year. Because this team that I'm looking at right here, we've all decided, stinks.
Doesn't cut it.
So this team's going to stink. I don't want to be a part of that. Next year, though, team's going to be great. AJ, I think you won the final round. Congratulations.
Wow. Boy, AJ.
Way to go. You do like this segment. Look at that.
You crush it.
You love this segment,
AJ.
Dude.
Wow. I do. I mean, sometimes you just have to question the question.
Well, I'll define success for you in that segment. Yeah. And maybe that is your path to success in that segment, is questioning the question, because that's kind of the purpose of the entire segment there.
But some of these questions don't deserve responses.
Okay, and that could be your answer too, buddy.
Yeah. You chose
not to do that in rounds one and two, right? That you could have done right. Yeah, 4 and 5, by the way.
I mean, your mind would have been in a pretzel, my friend.
Would have been tough. But we saw you getting a little bit heated, so we had to exit out. There.
Note to self, dictionary rounds, you know, probably off the table now that AJ hates him.
Well, and then there's also, we have the one word to describe questions that could potentially come. Yeah. And those ones are going to be good. Can't thank you enough for choosing to listen to the show. Have an incredible Thanksgiving. We are very grateful for you and everything you've done for us. The fact that you listen to the show, know that we are very, very grateful for it. From all of us to all of you, have an incredible Thanksgiving. Have a great weekend. Big Sale Friday sale is still going on, I think, all the way through Monday.
Wow.
At Viva La Zito will be announcing the Arby's sweatsuit winner for the hashtag Arby's is Great contest. And we'll be live on Sirius Friday from noon to 3, Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, SiriusXM, and you can listen to that for free, by the way, for new subscribers, SiriusXM, until December 1st, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go. So that's what we got. Hope you guys have a great one. We can't wait to talk to you again. We'll see you Monday. Cheers. Ty, please play some independent music and launch them into the greatest Thanksgiving of all time.